Hello. We have two Bible readings tonight. The first is from Luke 11, 1 to 4. This is Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And the second reading is from 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. Just by the way, the name that I'm going to read out here, Jabez, it means pain, which will make the passage make more sense. In Hebrew, it sounds like the word for pain. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request.
Thanks, Judy. Hey, guys, how you doing? Good to see you all. Thanks for coming out on Mother's Day. Why don't you pray with me as we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks and you're a God who speaks to each one of us. We pray now that each one of us would receive a fresh word from you, that as we look at this topic of prayer, God, that you would grow each one of us in our prayer lives. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so why do you pray? Why pray? When you pray, why do you pray? Have you ever been asked that question? I remember I was once at a work trip, and one morning I went into a common room to read my Bible and pray, to do my quiet time in the morning. While I was reading my Bible and praying, a work colleague walked into the room. She made herself a coffee in the little kitchenette and then walked away. Later in the day, she said to me, "Hey, I saw you in the common room this morning. What were you doing?" I said, "I was doing my quiet time. I was reading my Bible and I was praying." And then she asked the question I didn't have an answer to. She said, "Oh, why?" I thought, I'm a Christian, and I believe the Bible's God's word, and it's helpful for me to read it, and important to pray. And I've just looked in her eyes, and it felt like the answer I was giving her was not quite satisfactory to her. It didn't quite connect. I didn't quite express myself well enough. And I realized, thinking about it afterwards, that I guess I hadn't really connected with the depth of this question, why pray? Like, why do you actually pray? If you've grown up in church like I have, prayer is something that's so normal for you that sometimes it's quite hard to actually give a reason why you do it. I think sometimes whatever you do, everything you do has a reason, otherwise you wouldn't do it, right? So you've got a reason for doing it. But sometimes that reason is so deep, so sort of tucked away deep down that it's actually quite hard to articulate. So the point of this message is to help you articulate it. Why pray? Why do we pray? What does it actually do? My hope is that this series, we're going through an 8-week series on prayer. My hope is that the series will be a clear, inspiring, and no-nonsense guide to prayer. My hope is that everyone in our church, we've got hundreds of people in our church, and we're going to go through this series from the kids up to the older people, the seniors ministry. Everyone is going through a series on prayer. In our life groups, we're going to be going through the prayer course. And my hope is that every single person in this church goes deeper in prayer, grows in prayer. And the topic we're looking at today is why pray. Almost everybody prays. You pray. Your neighbors probably pray. I've heard that most atheists pray at some point in their lives. Maybe your teacher at school prays. Maybe even when you walk in the room. Oh God, help. They're here. It makes sense for us to take the time to think about why we pray. And throughout this course, think about how to pray. Did you notice that the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray? Many of us know the Lord's Prayer. Many of us would know it off by heart, Our Father in Heaven, and so on. But I think most people probably don't know that that prayer was taught as a response to a request, that the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Why do you think they made that request? Why do you think it's the only thing they asked Jesus to teach them? They could have said, Lord, teach us to multiply loaves and fishes. You know, that would be a particularly good thing to know how to do. Or Lord, teach us to turn water into wine. You could set up a small business if you knew how to do that. Or what about Lord, teach us to walk on water? They could have asked for anything, but they asked for a lesson on prayer. It seems that the aspect of Jesus' life that they were most impressed with was his prayer life. And we're meant to assume that if we were there, that we would have asked for the same thing. We would have said, though Lord, I've seen you heal the sick and open blind men's eyes, I've watched you cast the devils out, turn water into wine. You taught the masses from a boat, then walked upon the sea. The tax collector you forgave and judged the Pharisee. I'd love for you to teach me how to do such wondrous things, but I would rather ask you now to give the gift that brings my soul to rest and deeper still, aware of heaven's gaze. I won't be satisfied until I pray like Jesus prays. You can imagine them saying, Jesus, there's something different in the way that you pray, something I've never seen before, some kind of power, some secret relationship you have with the Father. And this is the most important thing we want you to teach us. We want you to teach us this fundamental spiritual discipline of prayer. Tonight we're asking why. Why do we do it? Why do we pray? What's the motivation? What's the reason for praying? What are those fundamental reasons that actually motivate us to pray? And what I want to do is I want to look at this prayer from the Old Testament, the prayer of Jabez. It's written about 500 BC. I think it's so helpful in walking us through a number of the reasons why we pray. Let me read the whole thing to you again. If you've got it open in your Bibles, that'll be really helpful. It goes like this. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. The first reason I want to give you as to why we pray is because it's the honorable thing to do. That the passage says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and all we find out about Jabez was that he prayed this prayer. So we're meant to understand that by praying this prayer, Jabez was being honorable. That prayer is the honorable thing to do. Let me explain it like this. If God exists, if God is real, then the honorable thing to do would be to come to him in prayer. The way I like to think of it is, imagine you're invited to a beautiful party in an incredible mansion. There's this beautiful setting. You walk through the gates and up the path. The outside of the mansion is lit up with lights in the evening. There's the front garden is looking gorgeous. You open the door, the front door, and you see there's this kind of hustle and bustle of people chatting and enjoying themselves. There might be 100 people there inside, and you look out, and outside in the back garden, there's all these people gathered together. There are canapes walking around, waiters walking around with drinks. You think, wow, what a beautiful party. What's the first thing you need to do? The host, we've got some people who have some etiquette training in the room. You need to find the host. You need to find the host. If you're an Australian, you'll have something in your hand when you walk up to the host. That's very typical in Australian etiquette. You might have a bottle of wine, or you might have some chocolates or something that you bring. And then you find the host and you say, hi, I just want to say thank you for inviting us to this beautiful party. This place looks wonderful, and don't you look wonderful too? That's basically what you need to say. Then you're free. You can go and enjoy yourself. You can go and find something to eat. You can scoff down as many canapes as you like because you've gone and acknowledged and greeted and thanked the host. And this saves you from the shame of an hour later, if you hadn't have done that, you're sitting in a corner somewhere eating canape after canape and your mouth is full and the host kind of accidentally walks in and you go, oh, oh, I'm sorry, just one second. Hi, hey, thanks for inviting us. And in this moment, you look like an ungrateful guest at the party. Prayer is greeting the host. Prayer is greeting the host. You didn't make this world. You were invited into it. God is the creator of the universe. He made this entire world. He's the one who's hosting this event, and you're invited to it. And so if you believe that God exists, you must believe that the honorable thing to do would be to acknowledge him, to come to him in gratitude, to come and acknowledge his existence, acknowledge his presence, and to thank him for everything that he has made. The honorable thing to do, if you believe that God exists, you must believe that prayer is the honorable way to respond to existence. The second thing we see in the passage is we're in pain and we need help. This is what it says. It says his mother, Jabez's mother, had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. So in Jabez's situation, his mother had given birth to him. She'd experienced a significant amount of pain in childbirth. And so she's thinking, oh, what should we name our newborn son? You know, should we name him Barry or should we name him Sam? I know, let's call him Pain because I gave birth to him in pain. We'll call him Pain. That'd be a great name for him. And so Jabez is growing up, you know, every day. Hey, Pain, you coming over? We want to play soccer in the backyard. You know, you can imagine his parents saying, hey, Pain, we're just popping out to the shops. If you come with us, we'll buy you a special treat. And, you know, Pain is his name. Every time someone refers to him or calls his name, they're reminding him of the pain that he brought his mother. I mean, did he bring his mother that pain? Was it his fault that she experienced pain in childbirth? You can imagine him asking these questions as he grows up. In fact, we actually have, I think, three kinds of pain in this passage. His mother's experienced physical pain, and then she's named him Pain, and that expresses this kind of relational pain, this sort of blame that she's placing on him, this idea that she's looking at his identity, at his personality, through the lens of this negative experience she's had, this relational pain. And then I think we see Jabez's identity pain. Who am I? Is this really who I am as a person? A person who is pain. And it's so much a part of his identity that's been given to him that he actually prays about it. God, would you keep me from pain? His act of prayer is an attempt to change the narrative around his life, to experience freedom from pain. That's why I love this passage, because it speaks so much to our broken lives and our broken relationships. So much in our lives, I think people in family relationships especially tend to look at each other with eyes of blame. They look at each other through the lens of negative experiences, unwilling to give those up. And we need to come to God in our pain and say, God, we need your help. Would you free us from pain? Would you free us from this brokenness? Would you change the narrative of our lives? Would you release us from this experience of pain? I'm doing a part-time PhD and I'm working on Russian spiritual poetry from a founder of Russian evangelicalism in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I know, sounds riveting. And this week I translated a poem from Russian to English, and I'm going to read it to you because it relates to this topic. And to understand the poem, you need to know that the Terek is a river in the North Caucasus. So this is speaking about the river Terek. I'll read it to you. The stormy, swift Terek roars outside my window, and with its cold wave tears tirelessly at the granite. The day leans toward rest, and over the Terek it is dark. The heart, with secret sorrow and with anxiety, is full. And in my shattered soul swarms a host of countless thoughts. The thought of life's hidden mystery besieges my timid mind. I open the window passionately. The roar pours from the darkness. In the noisy sounds I clearly hear, I struggle, so you struggle too. The mind fell silent and thoughts stilled. But as before, in the night's darkness, the sullen Tediak splashes against the granite with its wave. What I love about this poem, it's a spiritual poem in which the author, Ivan Prakhanov, he's talking about prayer as this expression of opening the window. Opening the window, he's experiencing this anxiety, these swarms of countless thoughts, this secret sorrow, this shattered soul. So he's so bothered by what he's experiencing internally that he gets to a point where he goes, that's it, I'm just gonna break open this window. I'm just gonna open this window passionately. And then this roar pours in from the darkness, the roar of the sound of the river. This opening the window is symbolic, or it's an illustration of opening the soul in prayer to God, saying, okay, God, I need you. And in the noisy sounds of the river outside, he hears the voice of Jesus saying to him, I struggle, so you struggle too. It enables him to reframe his pain through a lens of a union with Christ. Jesus is struggling, and I can struggle alongside him. I can meet Jesus in my pain. It doesn't take my pain away, but it certainly deals with some of the anxiety and the countless thoughts as the mind falls silent and thoughts are stilled. One reason we come to God in prayer is because we're in pain and we need help. A third reason is because God has revealed himself. It says here, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. A key part of our beliefs is that God has revealed himself. For Jabez, that was the God of Israel. For us, in the New Testament, it's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that God has revealed himself to us, and therefore we should pray. Sometimes people ask me, how can you be so sure that you're right about God? And my response is, I don't think I'm right about God. That's not where my faith comes from. My faith comes from the idea that God is right about God and God is capable of communication. My understanding, my logical assumptions work like this. The first is that it's more logical to assume that this world, this universe was created by a creator than that it wasn't created by anything. That it kind of created itself. That's my first logical assumption. My second logical assumption is that this creator must be personal because they've made us as personal beings. So it can't just be some force, impersonal force. It needs to be greater than we are. Some even super personal being has made us. That's my second assumption. My third assumption then is that this creator, this personal God, wants a relationship with us. And that's because this creator, this personal God, has made us with the capability of having relationships, with the ability to have language. It's the one thing that distinguishes us from the animals is that we can communicate with one another. No dog or cat can tell you what happened to them yesterday, but we can. Our ability to communicate is what distinguishes us from the animals. So this creator, my assumption is, I think it's a logical assumption, this creator wants a relationship with us because they've created us with the ability for relationship. And my fourth assumption then, and here's the main point that I'm getting to, is that it's more rational to assume that our personal creator who wants a relationship with us is capable of effective communication. That is, if you can make a universe, you can probably communicate a message clearly. And effective communication means that the listener received the message. Therefore, one of the world religions is probably right. I know that flies in the face of modern Western thought. But if God, the God who created the universe, is capable of communication, which to me is the most logical thing in the world, then one of the world religions has probably received that communication. And that's what we believe. That's what we believe as Christians. Thank you, Ken. Look at that. He noticed that there were bits of cellophane in my cup from before. So thank you, mate. Very, very kind of you. We believe that God has communicated with the world through the Bible and in the person of Jesus Christ. And so if God has communicated to us, if God has revealed himself to us, then surely that is a reason for us to respond to him in prayer. The next reason I want to give you is because God can bless us. Jabez prays and he says this, "Oh, that you would bless me." I love the word bless in Hebrew, barach. It means a number of different things. Firstly, when God blesses people, it means that he fills them with a special power to fulfill their purpose. Special power to fulfill their purpose. When we bless each other, we wish God's special power upon one another. When we say someone is blessed, We're acknowledging that that person has received a special power from God. And when we bless God, we're saying, God, you are the source of all power and blessing. And so if we believe God exists, if we believe he loves us, if we believe Christianity is true, then of course we want to come to God for his blessing. So much of life happens by chance. Wouldn't it be a good thing if you had a little bit of special power on the side? Someone guiding you through, someone leading you to make the right decision here and there, someone above looking out for you. I remember playing indoor soccer once a number of years ago. I'm not very good at soccer, a little bit of a, you know, personal self-reveal there. I'm not very good at soccer. I can hold my own if like it's like, you know, church afternoon tea and everybody's playing. But if it's like people who have actually played soccer throughout their childhood, I'm not very good. And I was playing soccer with a whole bunch of people who had played soccer a lot before. So it was indoor soccer, so there's no offside rule. And at one point, I just, you know, I'm praying like I often do when we're playing ball sports. God, help me not make a fool of myself. And at this moment, I actually felt really led by the Holy Spirit to stand in a particular part of the field. I know it sounds crazy. I was standing near the goal that we're trying to get the ball into. All the action's happening down the other end of the field. I'm kind of on an angle from the goal. I just really felt God leading me to stand in this particular spot. It just felt so silly. But I stood there. I just stood there for like 5 minutes waiting to see if this was actually, you know, God leading me or if it was me just going a little mad. And I stood there. I got bored. I got distracted. I wasn't even paying attention to the game until I felt the ball just hit me in the face. By the time I kind of came to, I looked around and the ball's in the goals and everybody's cheering. And I, you know, the first thought came to mind. Did they see that I faced the ball into the goal and didn't head it into the goal? Everyone cheered. No one seemed to mind. And I thought, okay, God, you actually did want me to stand there. I know it's bizarre. I know it's a little story. It's a little story. But there are so many of these little stories in our lives when we ask God to bless us. Because it makes sense, doesn't it? If God is real, if he's in heaven, if he loves you, if he cares for you, if he's good, if he's made you for a relationship with him, then surely he can bless you. He can give you some special power to fulfill your purpose today. And it doesn't mean that if you pray enough, then you'll always be standing in the right place in a sporting game. It doesn't mean that if you pray enough, every decision you make will be a good decision. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that if you ask God to bless you, then sometimes you'll notice, yeah, that was a blessing from God. I had someone this morning after the service tell me, you know, I was made redundant from one job, and then my dad needed me. You know, he was this health issue going on, and so I was able to help him for like a month, and then I got another job, and it just all lined up. And I said, well, that's the blessing of God. You know, I'm not saying this will happen all the time, but I'm saying it will happen sometimes if you ask God for his blessing. The fifth reason is that God can provide for us. I love Jabez's outrageous prayer. Oh, that you'd bless me and enlarge my territory. And enlarge my territory. Some people think Jabez's prayer is selfish. I think of it like this. Everyone's selfish. Everyone wants their territory to be enlarged. Jabez just knows who to go to ask for it. He knows to go to God in prayer. In 1 Chronicles, it was a season in the life of the children of Israel where they'd return from Babylon, return from exile in Babylon. And they were basically living in the land of Israel and they didn't own any of it. They were under the Persian emperor. And so they were writing this story of 1 and 2 Chronicles, looking back at the history of Israel. And this prayer would have meant something to them. God can enlarge our territory. God can provide for us. I think of the Sydney housing crisis at the moment. I think of it affecting so many people. I'm guessing 99% of people, whether it's you personally or your children or your grandchildren. I think we need the prayer of Jabez in this moment. I think we need to realize God can enlarge my territory. God can provide me with housing. He can provide for my needs. Jabez was asking the creator of the world for more territory. And God responded to him. God answered him. So it must not be a prideful prayer, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. This is given to us as a humble prayer in Scripture. This is how to pray. You say, God, would you enlarge my territory? It's humble. It's humility when we come to God with our actual desires. That's what I love about the prayer of Jabez. It's this guy just coming to God with all of his desires, warts and all, saying, God, would you do this for me? Would you take away my pain? Would you bless me? Would you enlarge my territory? It's like he's just coming to God with the things that he actually wants and that he actually needs, and he's just presenting those requests to God. That's what I love about it. Prayer is simply coming to God with what we need. The important point I want to make is that it's when you actually have a need that you can learn that God is your provider. If everything's going well for you financially, it's actually a little bit harder to really trust God as your provider. But it's when things aren't going well, it's when you're struggling financially, that's your chance to learn this lesson. That's your opportunity to say, okay, now I'm actually going to put my faith and trust in God as my provider. This is now the moment when I can do this, when this is going to be meaningful for me, to say, God, I believe that you can enlarge my territory. I'm going to ask you to provide for me, and I trust that you are my provider. The sixth thing, and don't worry, there's only seven. The sixth thing that God that is a reason for us to pray, why pray, is because God can protect us. I love how Jabez says this. Let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. The phrase, let your hand be with me, was a meaningful phrase at that season of the people of Israel. In Ezra, which is around the same time, we hear of Ezra, he needs to go on this journey from one place to another, and it's a hazardous journey. There are all sorts of bandits and militia, and he might get attacked along the way. And he's been told by the Persian king to go on this journey. But then he says this in Ezra 8:22. He says, I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from our enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. So Ezra's got this dilemma. It's like he's told the king, hey, God will protect us. And the king's like, all right, off you go then. He's like, oh, I would have asked for some soldiers as well. I guess I can't now, because the hand of our God is on us. The hand of our God is with us. It's a symbol of protection. It probably doesn't just mean like a soft hand. It might mean a fist. In Hebrew, the word for hand can also mean the forearm. You're meant to imagine God's muscular forearm being with you to protect you on the journey. That's what Scripture says. Oh, that your hand would be with me. Oh, that your forearm would be with me to protect me along the way. And God grants his request. Joe and I were almost in a car accident a couple of weeks ago. I was rushing somewhere and I was changing lanes and I didn't notice the car in front of me had slowed down, and it was pretty close. We even felt like, you know, after we got out of this thing, like, did God just like move our car like 30 centimeters this way? Because that felt way too close for comfort. And I know I've learned my lesson, I'll slow down. But those sort of near misses make me go, how many other near misses have I had in my life? And how many near misses have I had that I'm not even aware of? And God's there protecting us. Scripture says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him to deliver them from all their fears. God is protecting you. If you pray, if you're a believer in him and you pray to him, he responds by protecting you. So why pray? Well, finally, I want to say, why pray? Because God answers prayer. It says in the prayer of Jabez, it says, and God granted his request. If God didn't answer prayer, I wouldn't tell you to pray. Some people would say, oh, it's still good meditation. No. I think if God doesn't answer prayer, don't pray. But I believe God answers prayer. It's fundamental to our Christian faith, is the idea, the truth, that God responds when we pray to him. The Hebrew here literally says, and God brought that which he asked. God brought that which he asked. I was visiting a friend overseas, and he actually said to me, I said, do you need anything from Australia? He said, yeah, could you bring me some omega-3 capsules? You guys have really cheap, good quality omega-3 capsules. I didn't know that. I didn't know that over there they didn't have very good omega-3 capsules and they're a lot more expensive. So there you go. Next time you're in the pharmacy. No, I'm not going to give you any medical advice. But I brought him this big thing of omega-3 capsules. And I, you know, came and saw him and gave him the capsules. Why did I do that? Why did I bring him what he asked? Well, he asked me to bring it. It would have been awkward to arrive and he'd say, where are the omega-3 capsules? I said, sorry, I didn't bring you any omega-3 capsules. I didn't think it was very important. No, it was important. He asked for it. It was very easy for me to get them. I was going to the pharmacy anyway, picked up some omega-3 capsules. It was very easy for me to put them in my suitcase, very easy for me to pull them out of the suitcase when I got there and give them to him. It was very easy for me to bring him what he asked. And we're meant to get that sense in Scripture that we come to God in prayer because he responds to prayer. It's easy for him to bring us what we ask. He loves to answer prayer because he loves us. Now, I'm not saying that everything you pray for is going to be a yes and life's going to be super easy and super sweet, but I am saying that God will answer your prayers. He will respond. And if you pray prayers like Jabez does, these outrageous, simple prayers, asking God for what you need, asking God for what you want, coming to him with your hopes and dreams, coming to him with your desires, he will respond to you. That's the truth of Scripture. So why pray? We pray because it's the honorable thing to do. We pray because we're in pain and we need help. We pray because God has revealed himself. We pray because God can bless us. We pray because God can provide for us. We pray because God can protect us. And we pray because God answers prayer. This week I was chatting with a non-Christian friend of mine, and I talked about my prayer life. And he actually said to me this. He said, I'm not a Christian, but I've begun to pray recently. The practice helps me focus my goals, acknowledge my limitations, cultivate humility and thankfulness, and connect with something greater than myself. I thought, that's incredible. This young guy, not a Christian, not any religious background to my knowledge, he's just started praying recently. I wonder how many people out there, how many of your friends are people who actually pray? It'd be a great question to ask them. Hey, we're just doing a prayer series in our church. I want to ask you, do you ever pray? And when you do pray, what do you pray for? And then maybe you could lead them through some of the reasons you pray. Friends, come with us on this journey throughout our prayer series. Let's go deeper in prayer. As you go into this week, think about why you pray. Let me pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of coming to you in prayer. We thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you're a God who responds to us when we pray to you. Lord, we want to pray because it's the honorable thing to do. We want to acknowledge you as the host of creation, the creator of the world. And we want to come to you and thank you for what you've made. Thank you for making us. God, we want to come to you and seek you because we are in pain, all of us in different areas of our lives, personally, relationally, sense of identity. And we come to you in that pain and ask for your help now. God, we come to you because you have revealed yourself in the Bible. You've revealed yourself in the face of Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would bless us, each one of us. We ask that you'd provide for us, for each one of us. We ask that you'd protect us, each one of us. And we trust, God, that you will show us how you are a God who answers prayer. Amen.